In just about every segment of our society, from family to morals, we're witnessing a collapse. And Skip Heitzig says Christians aren't the only ones who've noticed this.
I discovered something in my research this week, that term, the domino effect, is used by several people to deal with the very issue we're studying. I'll give you a sampling only. Terrence Holmes wrote a paper for Johnston Smith University talking about this very issue of passive parenting and absent fathers. He said, the domino effect of this is that fathers are vanishing from families. Unattached males are the cause of many of today's social ills.
Make the connection.
How did we get to this point? Where did it all start falling apart? Why has society so eagerly worked to eradicate anything even remotely Christian in our culture? These are tough questions to answer, and the trends these questions represent are even tougher to stop. Well, today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig not only examines how we've reached this point in our culture, but also gives some suggestions for how we can help stop the collapse of biblical morality in our culture. Before we get started, though, if you've ever wondered why we still need the church in our high-tech world, you'll want to check out what Skip has to say about that in his latest book.
Church is very popular on Christmas Day. Church is where everyone likes to go on Easter Sunday. The question is, does church have any relevance for our lives the rest of the year? In his new book, Church, Who Needs It?, Skip Heitzig explains what the Bible has to say about why we need to go to church. There's more to it than just being a, quote, good Christian. This month, discover why church is an important part of the Christian life when you order Church, Who Needs It? For just $10 from The Connection. There are a lot of reasons floating around today why church is no longer needed, obsolete, and no longer relevant. Do any of those reasons have validity? Are there any good reasons to keep going to church? There are many, and Skip Heitzig shares them in the book, Church, Who Needs It? Get your copy today for just $10 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
So what's it going to take to reverse the trends we see in today's society? Is it even possible to change them? And if not, to survive them? We'll examine the possibilities in today's study.
And make the connection.
If you'll open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24, we'll join Skip Heitzig as he shares with us a shocking revelation.
I don't play dominoes. In fact, I really don't even know how the game works. But some of you do. How many of you play dominoes out there and know how it works? See, to me, that's a surprising number. I didn't know. I mean, the only thing I know about dominoes, you stand them next to each other and they fall down. But I did discover there's an International Federation of Dominoes, that it's a serious sport. Now, I'm not even good at most games. My wife could tell you to get me to play a game in our house is very difficult. But I also discovered that domino toppling is a sport, and that there are several websites and organizations of people who get together and stand dominoes up only to watch them fall. I mean, it's like serious business. In fact, there are world records that are being set and being broken. The last time it was set was November 17th, 2006, in Leeuwarden, Holland, where they set up and toppled 4,400,000 dominoes. I didn't know this until this week. This is like a newsflash to me. Some people take it so seriously, and there's associations in every country for this, that one time they did a live simulcast where they had several countries involved, that is, we would set it up in the United States and hundreds of thousands of dominoes would fall. The last one to fall would tip off another set in another country. When that's done, it would set up. There are like 5-6 different countries involved. Now, when I found this out, you know the one thing I thought? These people have way too much time on their hands. Anyway, that game of domino toppling has led to a phrase that is even a part of our vernacular. It's the domino effect. The domino effect is a chain of small events that lead to a large event, usually a catastrophe. And as we saw last week, passive parenting or absent parenting can lead to a detrimental and a domino effect. I discovered something in my research this week that term, the domino effect, is used by several people to deal with the very issue we're studying. I'll give you a sampling only. Terrence Holmes wrote a paper for Johnston Smith University talking about this very issue of passive parenting and absent fathers. He said, the domino effect of this is that fathers are vanishing from families. Unattached males are the cause of many of today's social ills. Here's another quote. There was a book called The Pearls of Wisdom, and here's a book review on that book. Pearls of Wisdom, subtitled Surviving Against All Odds, written by Marie Davis. The book hosts 5 different women who tell their stories about abandonment and neglect or abuse. And this person says the book shows how the domino effect can throw a life out of control. There's that phrase again. And finally, this article entitled Resolving Child Support System in America, all about a father's absence, says by fixing this problem, you're fixing a major problem which has caused and created a domino effect in the world. So how do you stop the dominoes? How do you keep those chains of events from ruining families to happen? Well, I can tell you how they stop it in real life dominoes. When you stand them up, these people who do domino toppling, it's like their big deal. They tell you it's all about placement. It's all about positioning. You can't have the next domino too close or too far. It has to be angled just right. Otherwise, it will stop the chain reaction. How do you stop the dominoes relationally from falling? Today, we want to look at that. In fact, what we want to do is look at the positive side. Last week, we kind of took the negative side of this, and you ought to know something. There's really good news. The dominoes can be stopped. All of the research shows that just a little bit of involvement, a little bit of right placement can mean all the difference in a world. Homes can be secure. Research that was done by the Christian Businessmen Committee found this. When the father is an active believer, there is a 75% likelihood that the children will also become active believers. That is great news. That's monumental. When a father is an active believer, a 75% likelihood that the children will become likely to become active believers. Look with me at chapter 24 of Joshua, verse 14 and 15. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It seems that Joshua saw a domino effect of sorts happening in his day. A domino effect toward idolatry. He saw it. He was warning against it. And he, on that day, made a stand to stop the dominoes from falling. Briefly, it was done this way. It took a strong man with a straight message at a strategic moment. And same today, it takes a strong woman or a strong man, a leader in a family system, with a straight message, the message of truth, at a strategic moment. Let's begin back in verse 1 for just a moment and look at Joshua as a person, Joshua as the chairman of this nation. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and asked for the elders of Israel, for their heads, for their judges, for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. We figure that at this point, by the way, this is Joshua's last State of the Union message as the leader of that country. He's about, or at least, 100 years old, so he deserves to be listened to. He took over for Moses when he was 80 years old. He died at age 110, and this is his final message as the chairman of that nation, the general of Israel's armed forces, the head of homeland security of the nation of Israel. Notice that he went to Shechem, it says in verse 1. Now, to help you out geographically, Shechem is right in the middle of the country of Israel, right in the center. And I believe he took them to Shechem because of the spiritual implications of that place. Rich historical background. Abraham, you may remember, built an altar to God at Shechem. Jacob reaffirmed his commitment to God at Shechem. And so he brings them to that place that held historical, spiritual significance. And he approaches them and gives them this final message that comprises chapter 3, or 23 and 24. What I want you to notice, though, is the priorities of this man. Though he is the general, though he is the chairman of the country, he does not approach them as the military leader of 3 million people or as the civic leader, but rather as the leader of a family. The way he phrases it reveals that. As for me and my house, in verse 15, he says. The word house is the Hebrew word beit, and it means household or family. It's not really a structure. He's not saying, as for me and these four walls that I live in, he's speaking about his people, his family. It's a common Hebrew word that can mean a lot of things. In the Bible, you read about Bethel, the place Bethel, Beit El, the house of God, or Bethlehem, Beit Lechem, the place of bread, the place where bread, wheat was grown in Israel. As for me and my household, my family. Now, why does he do that? Why, instead of saying, I am your leader, I am your general, he just says, as for me and my house. Because Joshua understood that families shape moral character in a nation. You set the temperature of the nation in the home. He knew that. He knew that a nation is either strengthened or weakened by families. Strong families, strong nation, weak families, unraveled nation. I read something this week, an interesting article, interesting but sad. There's an entrepreneur in Japan who saw a need in his country. And he decided that he would meet that need in a very unusual way. What he noticed is a large number of lonely, isolated people within family systems, especially the elderly. And so he decided to create a product, if you will, a way to fix that need, a relief by fantasy. For 150,000 yen, which is about $1,400 US, his company will provide three trained stand-in family members who will come to your house for 3 hours. $1,400, three people, 3 hours. And they'll be your family. Now, you hear that, you go, this guy must be broke. Nobody would sign up for that service. Well, you'd be wrong. There's a waiting list for that service. The article reads, Rent-A-Family works like this. The hired actors play the roles of children, grandchildren, daughters, sons-in-law, whatever the clients require. Normally, they just sit around and talk. But often, the clients berate their pretend children for leaving them so alone and sad. Why has this unusual scheme caught on? The founder of this, Mr. Kararu Inoue, says, quote, "There are lots of old people who feel sad because everyone is chasing money and no one is paying any attention to the human spirit." The rat race is very lonely. And whenever you pursue material gain at the expense of meaningful relationship, this is what you have left. And so Joshua, this general, this national leader, this civic leader, makes a stand as a member of his own family, saying, "As for me and my house," that is his priority. Now, we touched on this, but one commentator says in reading Joshua 23 and 24, the nation must have already be hankering toward idolatry at this point. They must have certainly been falling backwards to following other gods at this point because of the language that Joshua uses in making this stand. So he wants to stop the domino effect toward idolatry. Let's look at the challenge that Joshua has for his people. And here are the how-tos. Here's how you stop the dominoes relationally. First of all, you need to choose. You'll notice in verse 15, Joshua says, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." Now, 14 and 15, these are the two verses we looked at. And you'll notice in verse 14, it says, "Now therefore." And you know me, if you've heard me for any length of time, you know that whenever there's a therefore, it's always good to find out what it's there for. You don't begin a thought, "Now therefore." You have it attached to a previous thought. And it is indeed. In fact, Joshua's encouragement for them to make a choice is based upon what he tells them in 13 verses. Verses 1 through 13, Joshua gives them 400 years of their own history and says, "Think about all that God has done for you. Now, therefore, make this choice." I want you to see it. I want you to see the emphasis in it. Look at verse 2. Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. To Esau, I gave the mountains of Seir to possess, but Jacob and the children went down to Egypt. Also, I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to what I did among them. Afterward, I brought you out. And then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. And so they cried out to the Lord, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. Then you dwelt in the wilderness a long time. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites who dwelt on the other side of the Jordan, and they fought with you. But I gave them into your hand that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. And then Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, arose to make war against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam, therefore he continued to bless you. So I delivered you out of his hand. Then you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you. Also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and whatever other ites he may have left out. But I delivered them into your hand. I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you, also the two kings of the Amorites. But not with your sword or with your bow, I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. And you eat of the vineyards and the olive groves which you did not plant. Notice the emphasis. I brought you. I delivered you. I took you. I fought for you. You didn't do it. I did. Now, verse 14. Now, there. Four. I want you to see that, because he's calling them to choose this day. And it's based upon all that God has done. So here's how it works. Look at the miraculous hand of God that for 400 years brought you to this place, this day. Therefore, choose this day whom you will serve. You see, the commitment he's telling them to make is based logically as a response on what God has done for them. So I wonder if the same couldn't be said for us. I wonder if perhaps God hasn't arranged things up to this point and brought you today to this point to make a choice that will alter your marriage, your family, your home forever. He calls them to choose this day whom they will serve. By the way, by now you should know that every time you hear a message, every time you hear a sermon, a tape, something on the radio, read, quiet time on your own, at every one of those little meetings, you and I are called to make a choice to change our behavior by the help and will of God based upon what it is we hear, what God has done. That's always the way it ought to be. That's how Paul the Apostle wrote the New Testament. You think of his pattern in the book of Romans. He spends 11 chapters telling people what God did for them. Then in chapter 12, he says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, logical service. Romans 12:1. So Joshua is calling on them to make a choice. And what is the choice that he calls them to make? Notice. Now therefore, fear the Lord. You could translate that, honor God. Reverence him, respect him, honor him. And serve him in sincerity and in truth. So it begins with a personal commitment to God and to God's pattern according to truth. For you and for your family. That's where it begins. To honor God, that's your intention, and to live a life that is according to truth, sincerity, wholeheartedness, and truth. I wonder if you've ever stated that intention to your family. I wonder if you've ever gotten them together at any juncture and said, sweetheart, kids, I just want to reaffirm something. This house is set apart for God's glory. We want to honor the Lord.
You know, it's easy to despair in the face of the constant onslaught against the family, the church, absolute truth, and all the other areas our culture seems determined to eradicate. Although the world may seem like it's gaining the upper hand, anyone who's ever read the Bible knows ultimately who's going to come out on top. And that's all the time we have for today, but if you contact us for the first time today, you'll get even more insights from Skip with a free resource. Everyone who contacts us for the first time today receives a special little CD package we put together called The Royal Road of Love. To get yours, just call 1-800-922-1888 and mention that it's your first time to call us, and we'll send you that package absolutely free. Now, you can also write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. And if you'd like a copy of today's teaching, you can also call us at that same number, 1-800-922-1888, or visit us online at connectionradio.org. We'd be happy to send you a copy on CD for just $6, so get in touch with us today. And if it's your first time to do so, be sure to mention that so we can send you that free resource. Call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org. And so that will wrap things up for this fine Valentine's Day. And as you celebrate love in your life, it's our hope that you'll remember what the source of true love is and what the greatest display of love ever seen was. Christ on the cross, dying for our sins.
And make the connection.
We'll continue to explore how we can stop the chain reaction of destruction that's so common in today's society next time. So be sure to make some time to join us then on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.